Good morning and welcome to the California Coastal Commission meeting for Thursday, March 12th. Could we please have the clerk call the roll?
Commissioner Ashajian.
Here.
Commissioner Wickett.
Here.
Commissioner Burke.
Here.
Commissioner Clark.
Present.
Commissioner Secord. Commissioner Crewer.
Here.
Commissioner Mercurimi.
Present.
Commissioner Potter. Commissioner Schellenberger. Commissioner Wan.
Here.
Chair Neely.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. And I want to just acknowledge that we have a new commissioner with us today, in fact, two, Ross Mercurimi from San Francisco, and also Jim Wickett will be sitting with us today. And welcome to both of you. And we'd just like to offer you an opportunity to, on the mic if you'd like to at this time. Commissioners?
Thank you very much. Jim Wickett here. It's a pleasure to be here. Honored to be serving on the California Coastal Commission today as Steve Blank's alternate member.
All right. Thank you. Hope you enjoy your day. All right. Thank you. Then we'll just go ahead and get started with the agenda and go to staff.
We have to swear.
Director Douglas, did you have any comments?
Madam Chair?
Yes. Oh. Commissioner Mercurimi, you need to turn on your microphone, and we'd love to hear from you as well.
Thank you. Is that all of our cell phones or just mine? Probably not. I'm very honored to be now part of this august body. I have to say that this came very fast. I appreciate this opportunity to work with all of you. For me, this is a bit of a sentimental opportunity. It was 25 years ago that I came for the first time west of the Mississippi in 1984, directly here to Monterey. I'd never been to California to attend the Language Institute here. And when I came here to California and to see Monterey, this state, for the first time, I was completely blown away by what was before me and knew that the coast in itself was exactly everything I read and heard about from afar. And that feeling then, affirmed by my political instincts and opportunity and experience now, tells me that this coast is the crown jewels. And as far as I'm concerned, I will do everything I can to help nurture and protect that coast. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Madam Chair. I think we should swear Commissioner Mercurimi in now.
All right.
If you can come down here and.
No, I really feel on the spot. Okay.
I know you got comfortable up there, but.
Repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Ross Mercurimi.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
And defend.
And defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
Bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States.
To the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And to the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well.
That I will well.
And faithfully.
And faithfully.
Discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties.
Upon which I'm about to enter.
Upon which I'm about to enter.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Very nice.
Welcome.
With that, Madam Chair, I think we'll go through the changes on the agenda and the announcements, and I'll turn it over to Charles for that.
Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Commissioners. Changes on the agenda today. We have item 6A is postponed. That's the LCP update from San Mateo County. The county requested a continuance so that we can continue to work on some of the proposed modifications. Item on page 11, item 9D, the City of Santa Cruz LCP amendment, Arana Gulch, has been withdrawn. And on page 12, Monterey County LCP amendment, Castroville Community Plan, has also been withdrawn. For those members of the public who are here to speak on an item today, you do need to fill out a speaker slip, which you can find outside the hearing room. Indicate which item you wish to speak to and whether you're in support or opposition of the staff recommendation. Also, if you have a cell phone or other noisy device, if you could turn it off while you're in the hearing room, that would be appreciated.
Yes, and Madam Chair, as I indicated yesterday, there were two items that were on the agenda for today, the San Mateo County LCP amendment and the Castroville amendment for Monterey County's LCP. Those two items would have taken up most of the day. With their postponement, we have really changed the dimensions of the meeting today. So, again, I just wanted to explain that to you and members of the public because the meeting is going to be relatively short, I think, as a result of that. So with that, Charles, you want to proceed? And we don't have an enforcement report today, so that'll be next time.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. That would bring us to the North Central Coast District report, and the Deputy Director's report does not have any minor items this month to report on. So that would bring us to item 6B, which is a LCP amendment in the City of Half Moon Bay. The City of Half Moon Bay has submitted some information to us as of yesterday that we have been reviewing and has resulted in a slight change of course here for this amendment. But let me just go over briefly what the amendment is and how we are proposing to handle it. This amendment is a submittal in the City of Half Moon Bay to basically make three changes, two of which are part of a public proposition voter initiative that was adopted, Measure D. This measure would reduce the certified growth rate in Half Moon Bay from 3% to 1% a year, as well as reference a downtown map as one of the areas where this growth would be allocated. The third piece of the amendment was the submittal of amendments to Chapter 17 of the implementation plan of the LCP, and this was a allocation system for how directing the city how to allocate the 1% growth. We've been working with the city over the last several years on this and are largely in agreement with the city on the Measure D components, both LUP and IP, which would change the growth rate to 1%. With one minor modification to clean up an obsolete reference in the LUP. On Chapter 17, however, we've had recent information submitted by the city which raises some questions about the role of Chapter 17 in the IP, whether or not it was properly certified in the first place, and also they've raised some issues with the proposed modifications. So in talking with the city, my understanding is that the city is intending to withdraw only that piece of the LCP amendment concerning the growth allocation system, and that we would be working on that to address these questions, procedural questions that have been brought up, as well as the substance over the next several months, but proceed with the staff recommendation on Measure D to certify the reduced growth rate. With respect to the substance of that amendment itself, as I mentioned, the growth rate currently is set at 3% in the City of Half Moon Bay. The city, like the urban mid-coast of San Mateo, has been experiencing various growth pressures over the last several decades, and although there might be a recent respite in some of those trends, given the state of the economy, there are still serious concerns related to traffic capacity, water capacity, wastewater treatment capacity in the urban mid-coast, and therefore Measure D was adopted by the voters of the City of Half Moon Bay to reduce and allow for more measured growth at 1% in the city, and we would recommend that the Commission approve that change to both the land use plan and the implementation plan to put in this more measured growth rate for urban development in the community. We would also look forward to continuing to work with the city on the allocation system to assure that this growth is allocated in the way that makes the most sense, consistent with LUP policies to concentrate development in areas that already have urban services. So I will conclude at this point and then be available for questions after the city makes its presentation.
All right. Thank you, staff. Let me first look to my left to see if there are any ex parte communications from commissioners. Seeing none, anyone on the right have any ex parte communications? No? All right. Then let's see. We have at this point three speakers, and we would welcome the representative from the city of Half Moon Bay to start the presentation. I think it's Bonnie McClung. We'll have 15 minutes.
I don't need 15 minutes.
Okay, how much time would you like?
That's lovely. A couple of minutes.
All right, fine.
And that's thanks to the work that's been done this morning. And I would like to say good morning, Chair Neely, and to the rest of the commissioners. I'm Bonnie McClung, as was introduced, and I'm a council member for the city of Half Moon Bay. On behalf of the city, I wish to acknowledge the Coastal Commission staff work and on our LCP amendment to implement our Measure D, which was a voter-approved ordinance to reduce residential growth limit. We wanted to give a special thank you to Dr. Lester for working with us this morning to address our concerns, and we definitely concur with his recommendation. We respectfully request that the Coastal Commission approve the Coastal Commission staff recommendation to approve Section 9.4 of the LUP and Chapter 1804 of the IP. And we withdraw the amendments to Chapter 1706 and defer any recommended changes until such time as they've been carefully analyzed. And we will be in further consultation with the Coastal Commission staff, and our staff will work with them on the allocation process. So we thank you all, and especially Dr. Lester, for your consideration.
All right, thank you. The next speaker is Mary Lorenas.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen and commission members. I'm Dr. Mary Lorenas. I've lived on the coast of San Mateo for the past 30 years, and I wholeheartedly I'm asking you to please go ahead and approve the 1% growth for Half Moon Bay. I'm here also on behalf of a few hundred surfers and other members of the neighborhood and many, many people who could not make this meeting today, and I'm here on their behalf. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. Paul Perkovic.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the Commission. My name is Paul Perkovic. I'm a resident of Monterra, which is a community about 7 miles north of Half Moon Bay. We're in the unincorporated part of the county, but we're within the sphere of influence of the city of Half Moon Bay, and therefore actions that affect the city also affect the areas that we live in the county. I served on the Midcoast Community Council for 10 years, which is an advisory board to the San Mateo County Board of Supervisors. I strongly support the staff recommendation and endorse the 1% growth limit. We are hoping that when you have an opportunity to consider the San Mateo County Local Coastal Program Amendment that was postponed from today's meeting, that you'll also be able to support the staff recommendation there, which recommends a similar kind of limit on the residential growth in the community until adequate water supplies in particular can be provided to meet the needs. We're going into the third year of a very dry period in the state of California, and the district where I live, Monterra Water and Sanitary District, is just coming up with adequate water, we believe, to make it through a drought period. The neighboring district, Cosette County Water District, is looking at potential cutbacks. Their staff report indicate as much as 36% to 40% if San Francisco PUC has to implement a drought rationing program. And there could be very severe impacts on both the Midcoast area and the city of Half Moon Bay and the major employers in those areas if there's not adequate water to meet the needs of the community. Thank you very much for your attention.
All right, thank you. Mike Ferreira.
Good morning, Chair Neely and commissioners, and a welcome to new Commissioner Mercurimi. My name is Mike Ferreira, a former council member of the city of Half Moon Bay. I had the privilege of voting for this measure when I was on the council in 2005. Early in 2006, I believe it was, your staff sent a list of questions regarding the city's submission, and it took quite a while to get those answers, and some of them I believe staff did themselves. And this item was scheduled for approval in December. The city felt that they needed more time, and so there was a request in December to have a look at this. So I watched our agendas with curiosity to see when we would have a discussion of by our city council regarding this, and somehow missed it. Didn't seem to have happened in a public session. And so I stand here surprised today to find that, A, there's a quorum of the city council here, and requests of this type are being made. So for what it's worth, I'm here to speak for the staff report. I thought it was a very good one. I thought it reflected what the city council passed in 2005. And with that, I'll conclude my remarks. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Catherine Slater Carter. Good morning.
Good morning, Chair Neely and members of the commission. My name is Catherine Slater Carter. I live in Montara, a little bit north of Half Moon Bay. I am on the Montara Water and Sanitary District Board and am currently a member of the Midcoast Community Council. I'm speaking as an individual, but in both positions, I pay a lot of attention to the coastal infrastructure and constraints. As somebody who grew up on the other side of the hill, coastal access is very, very important to me. And I think that the 1% initiative is and Measure D is a very, very important one for the Coastal Commission to approve. I concur with the staff report, and I would hope you would pass it with as recommended. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And that's the last of our speakers on this item. Did staff have anything to add?
Just to underscore that the city, as I understand it, has withdrawn the amendment to the implementation plan, Chapter 17, concerning the allocation system, so that the commission has in front of it the Measure D pieces, amendments to the LUP and Chapter 18 of the IP. And we believe those are the most important aspects of this amendment, but we also, as I said, look forward to continuing to work with the city on the allocation system to assure adequate implementation within the LCP. Motions, we are recommending one modification to the land use plan, which is to delete the now obsolete table based on the previous growth measure. So the motions remain the same for the LUP beginning on page 4, which is to certify as submitted in a no vote, and then a resolution to approve if modified on the LUP. With respect to motion 3 on page 5, staff would be recommending a no vote now to submit the amendment to approve the IP amendment as submitted, and then motion 4 would no longer be necessary.
Okay, great. Thank you, staff. We'll bring that back to the commission. Commissioner Shajian?
So in that case, we'll start from motion 1 and look forward to Mr. Eisworth's help here. I move that the Commission certified Land Use Plan Amendment Number HMB-MAJ-205, Part B, as submitted by the City of Half Moon Bay. Recommend a no vote.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Shajian, a second by Commissioner Secord. The maker and the seconder recommending a no vote. Passage of the motion will result in denial of the amendment as submitted and adoption of the resolution and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion?
No, ma'am.
No? For either? All right. Is there any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby denies certification of the Land Use Plan Amendment Number HMB-MAJ-2-05, Part B, as submitted by the City of Half Moon Bay. And Commissioner Shajian?
I move that the Commission certify Land Use Plan Amendment Number HMBMAJ 205 Part B for the City of Half Moon Bay if it is modified as suggested in this staff report. Recommend a yes vote.
We have a motion by Commissioner Shajian, a second by Commissioner Secord. The maker and the seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in the certification of the Land Use Plan Amendment. Would you gentlemen like to speak to the motion?
No, ma'am.
No? Okay. Any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the Commission hereby certifies the Land Use Plan Amendment Number HMBMAJ 0205 Part B for the City of Half Moon Bay. Commissioner Shajian?
I move that the Commission reject the implementation program for amendment number HMBMAJ 205 Part A as submitted by the City of Half Moon Bay. Recommend a no vote.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Shajian, a second by Commissioner Secord. Maker and seconder are recommending a no vote. Passage of this motion will result in approval of the amendment as submitted and adoption of the resolution and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion?
No, ma'am.
No.
All right. Any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the motion passes. And my understanding is we have no need for motion four.
That's correct. And just for the record, staff will be compiling the final adopted findings that reflect the withdrawn amendment and delete any findings related to that previous submittal.
Very good. Thank you.
So that would bring us to item 6C, which is also an LCP amendment in the City of Half Moon Bay. And the City of Half Moon Bay is proposing to amend both the land use plan and its implementation plan to redesignate and rezone two parcels on South Cabrillo Highway of about 7.8 acres from an agricultural land use designation to a commercial visitor-serving land use designation and corresponding zoning. The standard of review is the Coastal Act for the proposed changes to the land use plan and the land use plan for the proposed changes to the implementation plan. The primary issue discussed in the staff report is the conversion of the land from an agricultural use to a non-agricultural use. The city has proposed the amendment in part to facilitate a specific project that is being contemplated to develop an RV camping and environmental interpretive visitor-serving facility on the site. The site currently has floriculture on it. However, due to various factors, including the poor soils that limit agricultural production, the high cost of water, which is being provided by the CCWD or the water district, not groundwater, as well as poor access to and from the site and the parcel size itself, agriculture is no longer viable at this location. Staff has reviewed this report and analysis carefully. There's also been a peer review of this agricultural evaluation, and staff concurs with the conclusions that it is no longer feasible to do the floriculture as has been done on this site at this time. Further, the Coastal Act establishes visitor-serving uses as a priority use, and the proposed use that would follow on this change in zoning would be a priority use under the Coastal Act, including providing lower cost overnight accommodations for visitors. So staff is recommending approval of the LUP amendment as submitted, as well as approval of the implementation plan amendment as submitted. And that concludes the staff presentation.
All right, thank you, staff. We'll look to the commissioners to see if there are any ex parte communications, starting on my left. None, and on the right, none. All right. Then we'll go ahead with the hearing. Is there a representative from the City of Morro Bay that would like to start, or we'll just start with the applicant then if no one from the city is going to speak, and that would be Don Hines? I'm sorry, Morro Bay, sorry.
Half Moon Bay.
Half Moon Bay. I asked, is there a representative from local government that wished to speak? Because no one did sign up. They're just in.
Yeah, she called my name, right? I'm having trouble with my hearing aid.
Okay.
My name's Don Hines. I live at 450 Wavecrest Road. Now, that is a property in the northwest corner of this study area for the adjacent property. I have 2 acres. I have a building. I live there. It's been my residence for over 2 years. I didn't find out about a rezoning. I've been totally blown off on the rezoning thing, and when I asked to be included, they had been so far along with the process, and I haven't. They wouldn't include me in the zoning process. I was requested to be have my property rezoned because, as a residence, nobody wants an RV park next to the residence. This degrades my property. I'm not totally opposed to the RV park, but it will degrade the property, my property as a residence. And of course, 2 acres is totally not viable for agriculture. If 8 acres is not. And if there's a way that you people can, you know, this is like audacity of hope. Is any way that you people can make Half Moon Bay include me in a rezoning so that my property will be viable, more viable, and not degraded. And you can see that this would be a bad planning to have this little agricultural exclusive ag zone, a rural, which would be an urban farm, sitting here all by itself, isolated from any adjacent agriculture. And anyway, I just hope there's a way that I can be included. You can make an amendment or a condition that they have to include me. They don't want to, but to do the bad planning of just leaving this there like that, degrade this, it just messes up my life, my plan for my retirement on my urban farm. And if the best zoning for that use then with the RV park next door would be more like mixed use commercial, so that you can do an urban farm, add some cabanas maybe for tourists, a few different things to make enough money to pay for some infrastructure that would be needed. And if you can't use the property to create the income for to pay for infrastructure, you're just hammered, right? And the problem with changing these parcels like this from agriculture to something else, eliminating the agriculture, you have a small parcel, you have next door, you have a nursery, they have the same excuse. It's a small nursery, it's not viable. Economically, you need to change a lot of our farming. If you do this, you have to look at everybody else and do it equally to all small ag parcels in Half Moon Bay.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you. Mary Lorenas. Oh, Councilmember McClung, did you have a speaker slip? We don't seem to have one here for you. Would you like to address the commission first?
If I may.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sorry. The applicant is here, Don Mendel, and he's going to speak, and not one of us from the council.
Okay.
So, and
he didn't identify himself as the applicant, from the Nurserymen's Exchange, but we're happy to take him in that order if you like.
Sorry. It might be more appropriate.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman.
Chair Neely, commissioners and staff, I'm Don Mendel for the applicant Nurserymen's Exchange. First, I'd like to thank the staff for all their efforts in preparing the report and bringing this matter to a hearing today. I appreciate the effort very much. Since initially applying for rezoning of the subject site in March 2005, we have worked cooperatively with staff of both the city and the Coastal Commission to provide the necessary information to support the findings that the proposed LCP amendment is consistent with both the city's LCP and the Coastal Act. During the same period, we have met with a significant number of interested citizens and organizations from a wide range of viewpoints who have provided valuable input, asked important questions, and sought answers. This process enhanced the quality of our work and also helped to build consensus in our community. Today, I respectfully request that the Commission adopt the staff's recommendation and approve the LCP amendment as submitted. Lastly, I'd be pleased to answer any questions and would appreciate the opportunity to respond to public comment. Thank you for your consideration.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mendel. Sorry for the confusion. Mary, Lorena, sorry, Mary.
That's okay. Hello again. Like I said earlier, I have lived on the coast for 30 years or so, and I am in support of this measure. One of the things I've seen on the coast throughout all these years is a lot of businesses have come and a lot of businesses have gone. And one thing that does remain consistent are our visitors. And one of the things that's greatest of economic value to the coast are the visitors. And so this plan would help bring visitors into the coastside. They'll be able to stay there overnight. A lot of our luxury hotels are currently empty. So a place for people to stay overnight where it's cost effective, and then they can visit the local restaurants and bring more money into the smaller businesses and on the coastside is really important. So I really encourage you to please go ahead and adopt this measure. Thank you.
Thank you. Karen Slater Carter.
Good morning again, Commissioners. Catherine Slater Carter. I've lived on the coast also for 30 years. My husband came actually as a banker to the farmers and fishermen, particularly the floriculture industry there. And times have changed. Labor has gotten tougher. Water has gotten far more expensive. And yet the visitors as a population over the, as we say, over the hill has grown. Increase every year, particularly in these hard economic times. I think this is an appropriate zoning change, and I wholeheartedly recommend and endorse the staff recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Ferreira.
Good morning again, Commissioner Chair Neely and Commissioners. I've followed this project's development over the years, and I've been pleased to see the diligence of the applicant in terms of trying to do things correctly and work with your staff to make sure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. And I think there's even a letter in your file from one of our planning commissioners commending how well prepared this applicant was. This is an excellent adaptive reuse and an adjustment to economic and resource realities, and I heartily endorse the staff report. Thank you.
Thank you. Bud Carney.
Chair Neely and members of the commission, I'm Bud Carney. I'm formerly the planning director for the city of Half Moon Bay and currently a consultant in land use planning. I would like to strongly support the staff recommendation before you today. This is a wonderful visitor-serving commercial project and will certainly meet the objectives of the Coastal Act. And I want to also thank the staff for their hard work.
Thank you. Paul Perkovic.
Good morning again, Madam Chair and Commissioners. First of all, I strongly support the staff recommendation and endorse this amendment. I would like to take just a moment, however, to look at some of the water supply economics issues which apply to this in particular. I'm currently president of the Board of Directors of the Montara Water and Sanitary District. We do not serve this parcel. It's Coastside County Water District, which does. CCWD years ago had most of its water sources developed from local coastal water supplies, and it was able to meet the agricultural needs of the community as well as the residential and commercial needs. In 1987, they applied for a Crystal Springs pipeline project to import water from the Hetch Hetchy system operated by the San Francisco PUC. Major seismic upgrades that are necessary to the Hetch Hetchy system are likely to cause wholesale water rates to more than triple to pay for the multi-billion dollar upgrades to that system. Currently, about 90% of the water supply for Cosine County Water District is purchased from the SFPUC system. So if the water supply prices triple, that means the retail prices must inexorably go up. The staff report comments on this extensively, but it doesn't look at the irony of the situation where the Coastal Act gives priority to agricultural uses and requires set-aside of water for those agricultural uses, but when other development requires importing much more expensive water, you don't keep the prices low for the people that were using the local water and charge the new customers the much higher prices. Instead, every water system does this. You look at the overall cost of water and you raise the prices for everyone. And what we're finding is that agriculture, Coastal Act priority land uses are gradually being priced out of existence through the import of much more expensive water resources in particular to meet the growth needs in that community. Our district, Granada Sanitary District, and the City of Half Moon Bay jointly operate the Sewer Authority Mid-Coastside, which is our wastewater treatment facility. And we're currently looking at developing a recycled water project. We're hoping that we'll be able to make water available for users such as Nurserymen's Exchange and other users that will be able to give them a price guarantee and assurance so that they're not facing this inexorable increase in water rates. When that project comes before you, I hope you can support that as well. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Mendel, would you like some minutes for rebuttal?
Thank you, Chair. A couple of responses to the first speaker. First off, the first speaker has an agriculturally zoned piece of property, as he mentioned, and I just wanted to make sure that it's understood that it's on the record that at our urging that we brought to the City Council and they adopted, and it's in the City Council ordinance that there would be a right to farm on this project that would protect any agricultural activities on either adjacent side. Second, I'd like to make the point that the two properties are very, very well buffered from each other. Fortunately, when the owners purchased the property in 1974, they planted a hedge, and today that hedge is 14 feet high and 5 feet wide, and you can't even see through it. So there's a very good physical buffer between the properties. I just wanted to make that clear. And lastly, that the I just wanted to make sure it's understood that first speaker, when he discussed the idea of rezoning the property, we were already 2.5 years into this process, and we were well along in the biological studies and other things. We would have had to completely start over, and we made that clear, and that's on the record at both the planning and the City Council. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Let me go to staff to see if there are any comments.
I think the only thing that I'd like to add is that I think this is a good example of how the LCP amendment process can work when we have upfront coordination, including early feedback from commission staff to, in this case, the applicant, who addressed a very important issue for us, which is the preservation of ag lands, and we advised that they look carefully at that issue and do the right studies to address the viability question, and that was done. And we now have the ability to look carefully at that issue and reach the conclusions that we have, namely that this ought to be approved as submitted. So I just wanted to highlight that as how the LCP process can work, since we often hear about the ones that aren't working.
Very good. Bring it back to the commission. Commissioner Shahjian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the commission certify land use plan amendment number HMB MAJ 308 as submitted by the City of Half Moon Bay. Asked. Recommend a yes vote.
We have a motion by Commissioner Shaji and a second by Commissioner Secor. The maker and the seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in certification of the land use plan amendment as submitted and adoption of the resolution and findings in the staff report. Would you gentlemen like to speak to the motion?
No, ma'am.
No? All right. Is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby certifies the land use plan amendment number HMB MAJ 3-08 as submitted by the City of Half Moon Bay. Commissioner Shahjian?
Thank you. I move that the Commission reject Implementation Program Amendment Number HMBMAJ308 as submitted by the City of Half Moon Bay, as submitted, recommend a no vote.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Shajian, second by Commissioner Secord. The maker and the seconder are recommending a no vote. Passage of this motion will result in certification of the Implementation Program Amendment as submitted and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would you gentlemen like to address the motion?
No, ma'am.
No? All right. Is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the Commission hereby certifies the Implementation Program Amendment Number HMB-MAJ-3-08 for the City of Half Moon Bay.
Thank you. Item 6D is an LCP amendment in the City of Pacifica, and I am not aware of any opposition to this amendment. This amendment would amend a portion of the Rockaway Beach specific plan to allow office uses located entirely above the ground floor. This also is a project-driven amendment to provide for new mixed-use commercial and visitor-serving development at 270 Rockaway Beach. However, the amendment was crafted as an area-wide change to the IP, which we were not given the information to adequately analyze, particularly potential impacts to public access and parking concerns. So we are recommending a modification to limit the amendment to the site in question where the commercial development would occur. We've looked carefully at the parking issues and public access issues and don't believe there are any concerns there. So we are recommending that the amendment be approved if modified as suggested.
All right, thank you. Let me first ask if there are any ex parte communications from commissioners. Okay, seeing none. We have no speaker slips on this item. What's the pleasure of the commission? Yes, Commissioner Wan.
I move that the Commission certify Land Use Plan Amendment Number 1-08 as submitted by the City of Pacifica and recommend a no vote.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Wan, second by Commissioner Shajian. The maker and seconder are recommending a no vote. Passage of the motion will result in denial of the amendment as submitted and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to the motion?
No.
No? Okay, is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the Commission hereby denies certification of the Land Use Plan Amendment Number 1-08 as submitted by the City of Pacifica. Mr. Wan?
I move that the Commission certify Land Use Plan Amendment 1-08 for the City of Pacifica if it is modified as suggested in this staff report and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Wan and a second by Commissioner Mercarimi. And the maker and the seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in the certification of the Land Use Plan Amendment. Would you like to speak to your motion? No? Okay. Is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the Commission hereby certifies the Land Use Plan Amendment Number 1-08 for the City of Pacifica. Thank you.
Item 6E is also in the City of Pacifica and an LCP amendment to extend a growth ordinance for that community that has been in place for a number of years. This commission has previously certified the growth ordinance and extended it several times. Staff is recommending that the commission again certify the ordinance, the extension of the ordinance as submitted in order to provide a reasonable rate of growth and a growth management system in the City of Pacifica. Most of which is not within the coastal zone, but there are some places that would be potentially affected by this ordinance. And unless there are questions, we would recommend that it be approved as submitted.
All right. Thank you. Can I check with commissioners to see if there are any ex parte communications on this item? Starting on my left. Seeing none on the right? No? All right. We have no speaker slips on this item. Commissioner Wan? Yes, please.
I move that the Commission reject Implementation Program Amendment Number 1-07 as submitted by the City of Pacifica and recommend a no vote.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Wan and a second by Commissioner Mercarimi. The maker and seconder recommending a no vote. Passage of this recommendation will result in certification of the Implementation Program as submitted and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to the motion? Commissioners? No? Is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the Commission hereby certifies Amendment Number 1-07 of the Implementation Program for the City of Pacifica. All right. Thank you.
So that brings us to the Central Coast. And again, we have no minor items to report in the Deputy Director's report this month. And that would bring us to Item 9A, which is the City of Capitola Major Amendment 1-07. This is an LCP amendment to amend both the land use plan and the implementation plan to eliminate references to a particular property used as a city parking lot, and also to add new standards to allow a valet parking program for the Central Village area. If you've been to the City of Capitola, you know that the downtown area is a tremendously successful visitor-serving area. However, parking is at a premium, particularly during peak periods, and so the city is proposing to begin using a valet parking to help address parking issues in the area. We've worked with the city on proposed changes to the amendment to assure that they address our concerns about loss of general public access parking, and so we are recommending that the city's amendment be modified to assure that there would be no adverse impact on already available public parking spaces due to operation of a valet program. So the way the program would be required to work would be that valet-parked cars would be parked on privately available parking areas that were not in use at the time, and they could not use public parks public parking areas in order to use the valet parking. So staff is recommending that the amendment be approved if modified, and the city is, I understand, is in agreement with our recommendation.
All right, thank you, staff. Let me first ask if there are any ex parte communications from commissioners, starting on my left. Seeing none, anyone on the right? Okay, then we'll go to the public hearing, and we have two speakers from the City of Capitola, Jamie Goldstein and Bud Carney. And how much time would you like?
Zero.
Very brief, Madam Chair.
How about 5 minutes? Would that be enough?
I think I can do it in a minute.
All right, we'll give you two just in case.
All right, thank you very much. I'm Bud Carney, and I am the consulting planner for the City of Capitola, and have been in that role for the last 7 years, and have been their interim community development director three times, more recently this year. This is a fantastic project for the city. It provides more parking for visitor-serving commercial uses within the village, and it basically comes off an idea that you strongly supported in the city of Manhattan Beach many years ago to provide valet parking. And so the city is basically wanting to duplicate that effort. And we want to support the staff recommendations. We are in agreement with their changes. We have no question about it. And I want to personally thank Charles Lester and Susan Craig for their very hard work on this project and for all the support that they have given the City of Capitola over the years. I'm going to conclude my remarks, but I would like to introduce the new Community Development Director for the City of Capitola, Jamie Goldstein. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Welcome, Mr. Goldstein.
Good morning. I'd like to thank Bud for the introduction.
Could you pull your mic up just a little bit? Thank you.
Good morning. I'd like to thank Bud for the introduction, and I'd also like to thank your staff, particularly Susan Craig, for helping bring me up to speed. I'm eager to work with the Coastal Commission on coastal-related issues in the City of Capitola, and I'm here to answer any questions if you have any.
Okay. Could you just state your name for the record?
Jamie Goldstein.
Thank you. All right. I'll take it back to staff to see if there are any additional comments. Those are the only speakers we have.
No comments.
All right. Then we'll bring it back to the Commission. Commissioner Potter.
Madam Chair, I move the Commission certify Land Use Plan Major Amendment 1-07 as submitted by the City of Capitola and recommend a no vote.
We have a motion by Commissioner Potter and a second by Commissioner Schallenberger. The maker and the seconder are recommending a no vote. Failure of the motion will result in denial of the amendment as submitted and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would the commissioners like to speak to the motion?
No.
Okay. Seeing no comment, is there anyone else? Is there any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby denies certification of the land use plan amendment 1-07 as submitted by the City of Capitola.
Madam Chair, I move the Commission certify Land Use Plan Major Amendment 1-07 if it is modified as suggested in the staff report and recommend a yes vote.
We have a motion by Commissioner Potter and a second by Commissioner Schallenberger. The maker and seconder recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in the certification of the land use plan amendment. Would you like to speak to the motion?
No.
You? Okay. Any objections to your unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby certifies land use plan amendment number 1-07 to the city of Capitola. Mr. Potter?
I move the commission reject implementation plan major amendment number 1-07 as submitted by the city of Capitola. Recommend a yes vote.
We have a motion by Commissioner Potter and a second by Commissioner Schallenberger. Both are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in rejection of the amendment and adoption of the resolution and findings in the staff report. Would the commissioners like to address the motion? No. Is there any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby denies certification of the implementation plan major amendment number 1-07 as submitted by the city of Capitola. Mr. Potter?
And finally, I move that the commission certify implementation plan major amendment number 1-07 if it is modified as suggested in the staff report and recommend a yes vote.
We have a motion by Commissioner Potter and a second by Commissioner Schallenberger, the maker and seconder, recommending a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in certification of the amendment with the suggested modifications. Would you like to speak to the motion?
Mm-mm.
No. Is there any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby certifies implementation plan major amendment number 1-07 to the city of Capitola local coastal program. Thank you.
Item 9B is a City of Carmel LCP Amendment 1-09, and this is the Trevitt Court Specific Plan. We've worked with the city on this submittal of this LCP amendment to provide for changes in the LCP that would allow a currently developed site that has a 9-unit affordable senior housing facility to be redeveloped with a 14-unit, 2-story affordable senior housing facility with underground parking. We worked with the city to assure that this specific plan, although it resulted in increased densities, would still meet the various requirements of the LCP, including community character issues, site design, prevention against invasive species, and other issues such as water quality. And so we are recommending that the amendment be approved as submitted.
All right. Thank you, staff. Let me look to my left to see if there are any ex parte communications from commissioners. Mr. Potter.
Madam Chair, I had a brief conversation with the mayor of Carmel last Friday in which she registered her support for the staff recommendation.
All right. Thank you. Any other commissioners with ex partes? All right. Well, then let's look to the public hearing. We have two speakers, Sean Conroy from the city of Carmel.
Thank you, Chair, members of the Commission. I'm Sean Conroy. I'm the Planning and Building Services Manager for the City of Carmel by the Sea, and we just wanted to thank Coastal Commission staff for their input throughout the development of this project, and in particular for the recommendations, and we're in full support of the recommendations today.
Great. Thank you for being here this morning. Jill Sheffield.
Good morning. My name is Jill Sheffield. I'm the president and CEO of the Carmel Foundation. We've been serving senior citizens on the Monterey Peninsula for 59 years and are really anxious to move forward on this project. We really fully support the recommendations of the staff and hope and urge you to do so as well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let me go back to staff. Do you have anything in addition?
No, ma'am.
All right, bring it back to the commission. Mr. Potter.
Madam Chair, I move the commission certify major amendment number 1-09 to the City of Carmel Local Coastal Program Implementation Plan as submitted by the City of Carmel. I recommend a yes vote.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Potter, a second by Commissioner Secord. The maker and the seconder recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in certification of the implementation plan amendment as submitted. Would you like to speak to the motion?
No, I'm glad to see this come forward. I appreciate staff's working with the City of Carmel, and I appreciate the City's cooperation. It's a very worthwhile project. I'm
All right.
glad
so
to see it moving forward.
Any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the Commission hereby certifies major amendment number 1-09 to the City of Carmel Local Coastal Plan, Local Coastal Program Implementation Plan. Thank you.
Item 9C is an LCP amendment in the City of Monterey.
and this would be to redesignate a portion of Maccabee Beach from visitor-serving commercial to a public use area, as well as to add a new policy to the Cannery Row Land Use Plan Public Access Chapter that describes public access amenities and allowable uses on this publicly owned portion of Maccabee Beach. We are recommending that this amendment be approved as submitted. Just for your information, this is the outcome of a public access issue that the Commission dealt with down the row here in the city with respect to the Cannery Row Hotel development, now the Clement Hotel, which you may have seen recently opened. As part of that review and consideration of public access issues, a portion of Maccabee Beach was acquired from the Cannery Row Company by the city to mitigate for public access issues at the hotel site, and now we are putting in place the LUP recognition of that public beach area. So we are recommending that it be approved as submitted.
All right, we have no speakers on this item. Bring it back to commission.
Madam Chair, I move the commission certify part one of major amendment number 1-07 to the Cannery Row Land Use Plan as submitted by the City of Monterey. Recommend a yes vote.
We have a motion by Commissioner Potter and a second by Commissioner Secor. The maker and the seconder are recommending a yes vote. Are there any objections? Or would you like to speak to your motion, gentlemen?
No.
No. Any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby certifies part one of major amendment number 1-07 to the Cannery Road Land Use Plan as submitted by the City of Monterey.
Item 9F is a LCP amendment in Santa Cruz County. And this is to deal with neighborhood compatibility within the residentially developed areas of the county. The LCP amendment consists of three basic pieces. It would amend the implementation plan to make changes to the development standards for residential development by, one, changing the definition of net site area for residential properties within the urban services line to exclude certain areas from the calculation used for determining maximum allowable lot coverage and floor area ratio. It would increase the maximum allowable lot coverage from 30% to 40% on certain sized parcels, and it would allow for required minimum front yard setbacks to be based on an average of adjacent front yard setbacks subject to certain restrictions. The main purpose of these amendments was to address at the community level concerns about the increasing size of residential homes in various neighborhoods, and in particular in three different cases, homes on bluff tops that may also have portions of their parcel heading down a slope where that site area was then used to rationalize a larger home, which would be perceived as much larger given that most of the or a lot of the parcel was down the slope and not a developable area, quote unquote. Also to deal with houses built within slopes in certain areas, and you may recall the issue of bunker homes in certain areas of Santa Cruz County that this commission has dealt with on appeal, and this would also address those, although not in the same way as the bluff top homes. And then there were homes built directly on the beach in certain cases where we have development patterns that predate the Coastal Act. And the concern there, again, was the use of lot area that may go out beyond, in most cases, a seawall, for example, and out into the surf zone in some cases in order to justify larger house sizes. We've worked with the County of Santa Cruz on some minor changes to the language in order to assure no adverse impacts to public view sheds in these areas. The county is in agreement with our recommendation, is my understanding. And while we would have preferred that the county had gone a little further in some aspects of this, we are also supportive of working from the bottom up with the county on more specific planning exercises to address some of the other issues related to community character. So this would be an improvement to the existing LCP provisions to address size and scale of residential development. And with our recommended modifications, we recommend that the commission approve the amendment.
Thank you, staff. Let me look to the commissioners and see if there are any ex parte communications. Commissioner Potter?
No.
All right. Anyone else? No? All right. We have several speakers on this item, and we'll start with the representative from Santa Cruz County. Morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Glenda Hill. I'm a principal planner with the County of Santa Cruz Planning Department.
How much time would you like?
3 minutes, I think.
Would that be all right?
Okay. Yes, and I am the author of the amendments before you today. First of all, I would like to thank the Commission for the continuance that you granted in December to allow additional time for coastal staff to work with our staff to see if we could put our minds together and come up with a good recommendation for you. The time was well spent. We did speak to coastal staff, and I want to thank them, especially Susan Craig, for our conversations, and we do support the staff recommendation today. I do want to let you know that the whole issue of neighborhood compatibility is a challenging one for Santa Cruz County and for our Board of Supervisors. And when they addressed this item back in 2006, they did direct that staff look at this issue and deal with it in a three-prong method. One is through regulatory tools to deal with neighborhood compatibility, which is what before you today. The second is a preparation of a neighborhood compatibility design brochure as an informational tool to our clients that was prepared with input from members of the community and is available now for the public's use. And the third item is that they directed staff to prepare a community plan for the Pleasure Point area, one of the coastal neighborhoods that we were having some great concerns and difficulties with neighborhood compatibility in new design. We have worked on that since 2007. We're finishing it up. It ought to be before your commission this year to look at it. So while some may say that the ordinance amendments aren't the most elegant solution, they are effective, and we are going forward, as I said, with neighborhood community plans. Again, one of them you may be seeing this year. I did want to correct something that was submitted into the record that alleges that incorrect noticing took place for this ordinance amendment. Noticing is handled by Chapter 1810 of the Santa Cruz County Code, and what that says is if more than 1,000 parcels or property owners are affected by an amendment, then we may do display ads to advertise a proposed ordinance. And when the ordinance did come before the Board of Supervisors back in 2006, there were many, many thousands of parcels affected by the three changes in this ordinance. We did do the required display ads. When a more focused revision to this ordinance came before the Board of Supervisors in 2007, staff ascertained that fewer than 1,000 properties would be affected, and we did do mail notices to all those property owners as required by our code. So I wanted to make it clear that we are in conformance with our public noticing requirements. And with that, that concludes my comments. I'm available for any questions you may have.
All right, thank you, and we'll reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal for you if you'd
thank
like.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. The next speaker is Mary Maselli.
Good morning, Commissioners. I just want to express my full support of the staff recommendation to this amendment. And my interest...
Mary, could you give your name for the record, please? Sorry.
Mary Maselli.
Thank you.
To continue, I am a property owner at 411 Locke near the golf course area for 24 years. I have recently torn down a house and have built a new home, and the amendment directly affected my desire to occupy more than 30% of my lot. I am not building a McMansion. I am, in fact, seeking to occupy 34 additional square feet. The house will only occupy 1,600 square feet of a 5,200 square foot lot. So I think that is in part of the vision of the staff to not have McMansions, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you, and hopefully this amendment will pass.
Thank you. Betty Cost?
My name is Betty Cost. I'm a planning consultant, and I represent the owners along Beach Drive, both on the sand side and on the bluff side, and the area of townhomes we call Beach Island. We have followed this entire process very carefully, and we really appreciate Coastal Commission staff's efforts to work with us on this. And we are perfectly willing to work further with the county in doing more specific plans, and we appreciate the work that's been done so far. We are in total support of the staff's recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you. John Dowden?
Yes, I'm John Dowdell, and I own three properties that are on the coast, and I've worked with both the county and the Coastal Commission, and we really appreciate all the effort and the compromise and the detail that they went into it, and we support it 100%. We think it's, in our case, we wanted to do a remodel, and we were 100 square feet. We're not building a McMansion either. We needed 100 extra square feet because the porch was counted against us, and this will allow us to expand an extra room on the house. So we appreciate your efforts, and thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Jim Vidogna?
Hi, I'm Jim Vidogna, and I'm the owner of 276 Beach Drive, and I'm representing the homeowners along Beach Drive, and we are in full support of the staff recommendations. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Cindy Trousdale?
Good morning. My name is Cindy Trousdale, and I live in Aptos in Santa Cruz County. And many of us who live on the oceanfront have larger premium lots, and we pay higher property taxes, and now it seems like we have people living blocks or miles away from us dictating what we can do with our properties. This is just a smokescreen of taking of rights, and I think it needs to have further studies. Our forefathers have fought hard for our rights. This is just another form of socialism. Pay the higher taxes and have people in lesser lots try to steal your views. It's like, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? The retired Proposition 13 people want lower taxes, but they don't want to give us the rights to build on our own properties. And I feel that there's a lot of corruption. And I think, unfortunately, there's some county supervisors looking for more votes. I know that this sounds pretty negative, but I just feel like we're not getting full representation. I feel that a lot of people in communities like Sea Cliff, Pleasure Point, they won't be able to rebuild if they have fires, and I just don't think that some of the people have awareness what could go on if they have an undeveloped lot and they want to build in the future. I think it could affect them from even having a house on some of the smaller lots. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough that my lot is larger and affords me a larger home, but there's a lot of people out there that just don't have the knowledge base. Thank you.
Thank you. Todd Williams?
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Todd Williams, and I'm a land use attorney from the firm Morgan Miller Blair, and I represent Susan and Barry Porter, who are coastal property owners in Santa Cruz County and whose property is within the scope of this amendment. I want to talk briefly about why the LCP amendment should be rejected, and there's two basic reasons. It's the result of a poor process, and it just represents poor planning. In terms of poor process, I'll just touch very briefly on the notice issue. One of the problems, in part, was originally there was not broad notice, individual notice given to affected property owners. When it came back to the county and they removed the beach and in-bluff property owners from the amendment and gave more widespread notice, when bluff top owners came to the board meeting and said, hey, we want, you know, some of our properties are going to become non-conforming, we have issues too, they were told by the board, sorry, we're just here to consider beach and in-bluff properties. So again, the bluff top property owners who showed up to try to be heard were told, sorry, we're not considering your issues. In addition, the county performed no environmental review of the amendment's effects inside or outside of the coastal zone, no analysis of how the amendments would actually promote or if they would promote neighborhood compatibility, nor the effect of the amendment on its housing element projections, or whether its code will now conflict with planning and zoning law with respect to rebuilding, particularly of multifamily homes, which may now become non-conforming that are located on the bluff top. Similarly, we don't feel the staff report by the commission staff has made up for these shortcomings. The analysis in the staff report is interesting because it only spends about a half page on the effect of the NSA amendment and then spends several pages on how to deal with things that aren't before the commission, which is the beach and in-bluff property. It also talks about tools for area-specific and site-specific planning and recommends that that's the proper way for neighborhood compatibility issues to be addressed. And that makes total sense, because if you're going to deal with what's compatible for a neighborhood, you need to examine what the relevant neighborhood is and what compatibility means in that context. Here, there's no definition of what community character means. There's not even a definition of what a bluff-top property or a beach property or an in-bluff property is. What if one has a little bit of one and a little bit of the other? And this really gets to the fundamental unfairness of this amendment, which is you're treating similarly situated properties differently. You're discriminating against the bluff-top property owners by saying you can't count your beach, you can't count the property that you own toward net side area, but we're going to let your neighbor, your adjacent property owner with the same type of property, we're going to let them count that. That's discriminatory. It is a violation of equal protection, and it's unconstitutional, and it simply is not a fair way to proceed. And
sir, your time is up.
Okay. Our recommendation is that you send it back to the county for further processing.
Thank you. Cove Britton?
Good morning. Cove Britton with Mattson Britton Architects. This amendment has had a long and storied history. You are seeing but a fraction of it. I want to make it very clear to the commission that the professionals of the community of Santa Cruz recommended against this, including geologist Eric Zinn, including civil engineer Richard Irish, including civil engineer Elizabeth Mitchell. And it's not because we're against neighborhood compatibility. It's because this was a badly conceived change to the ordinances. It wasn't thought out. Originally included arroyos. Originally it included slopes over 30% in the elimination of NSA, and blufftop homes, and sand homes, and in the bluff homes. And slowly but surely, those got removed because too many people objected to them. So now we're down to just the blufftop people. But we have no idea, and they have not been noticed properly. I have clients. I know they have not been noticed properly. And it affects lots that are 7,000 square feet as well as 20,000. It's not about compatibility. It's just as likely that you'll have a 7,000 square foot house and desperately be trying to preserve that home now because you can't get that same size home. So this has the opposite impact from what I believe the commission is interested in. I would assume that you want people to move their homes back. Well, the average setback in Rio Del Mar, and we had to do this, staff didn't do this, not coastal nor county, is 11 feet. Well, those people are going to try to save their homes now because their bluff property won't count, so they're going to try to preserve that. So this has become not a neighborhood compatibility ordinance. It's become, thank God, it's not my property ordinance. And most of the people here speaking to you today are saying that. Thank you for getting me out of this. So no analysis has been done by staff. The county geologist should do a map of what affected parcels and then analyze what size those are, what would happen. That hasn't been done, and it's not that hard to do. So this is not a neighborhood compatibility issue. There's better ways to handle it. It's been said over and over again. And it's very clear the top bluff top homes, that homes that are 3,000 square feet are appealed because they're going two stories. Homes that are 4,000 have been appealed because they're going two stories. Clearly, if you're inland, you want a smaller house at the bluff top. I understand that. But there should be a better way of doing that than making these homes incompatible. So again, I backtrack. The analysis needs to be done, and it is doable, and so that the commission can actually see factual information about this. So I request that the commission consider returning this back to the county for proper analysis so you can actually see what it does. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, sir. Grace Pyers.
I don't know that this microphone is really going to work for me. Good morning. My name is Grace Pyers. My husband and I own a home at 327 Beach Drive and for 20 years. And we're awfully concerned with the ordinance, the original ordinance, which could be taken care of by the amendment, because lot sizes vary greatly at Beach Drive. And looking at our house, not that we're trying to rebuild or add or anything, but in possibility of a future storm or some great damage to the home, taking in consideration the FEMA floor requisites, we probably end up with a home that's like less than half of what it is, maybe 700 square feet total. Well, it sure wouldn't be worth the build. So we're really concerned about it and hope that you would take this in consideration. And I just want to thank the coastal staff and the county staff for working together. Solution, hopefully, at least for us, it would be a solution. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Diane Nevis.
Good morning. I'm here solely to thank
you. Give your
you.
Name, please.
Diane Nevis. I reside in Las Banas. I'm here with my mom, Dorothy Moniz. She's a homeowner at the toe of the bluff on Beach Drive in Aptos. And we're solely here. Our family would like to thank you for listening to your staff's recommendations and for listening to our support and our concerns. All thank right. you.
Thank you for being here. Steve Graves.
Good morning. I'm Steve Graves, land use consultant. I represent over 50 homeowners, Los Olds Drive, Potbelly Beach. And we are in support of staff recommendation. I want to thank both the Coast Commission and county staff for the work on this project, urging to move forward, and also in complete support of the changes to the lot coverage and front yard averaging. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And then let me ask Ms. Hill from the Santa Cruz County Planning Department, would you like 3 minutes for rebuttal, Ms. Hill?
No, commissioners, but I am available for any questions that you have.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's bring it back to staff then.
Thank you. I just have five comments here. One, staff at the commission is not aware of any noticing problems or issues with this amendment. And as far as we're aware, this LCP amendment proceeding today has been noticed properly as well. Second, I did want to respond to some of the comments and just underscore that the issue in front of the commission here is does have a statewide component, a public component, and from our standpoint, this is not simply an amendment that deals with inland property owners and owners along the shoreline, but rather public viewshed issues, public access issues in areas of Santa Cruz County that do have very important public viewsheds. The scale of development is important and does have a potential impact on those public viewsheds, and therefore we have been supportive of and working with the County of Santa Cruz on how to address what has been called neighborhood compatibility. From our standpoint, it's a concern of community character, the scale of development, and assuring that development in certain types of situations, like on a bluff top, in a public view shed, on a beach, on a bluff face, are developed at appropriate scales to protect those public view sheds while still allowing for residential development. So from our standpoint, there is a tremendously important public issue here that does implicate statewide coastal resource issues. Third, as I mentioned in my initial presentation, we do feel that this proposed amendment is an improvement to the LCP and would, in general, result in smaller homes in certain places, or at least reduce the maximums that are potentially available, and therefore would be a net benefit for the issue of public view sheds. And then fourth and related, the question was brought up about whether this was discriminatory or calling out certain situations inequitably. One of the primary impacts of this amendment would be to address development on the so-called bluff top lots that also have portions of their property heading down the slope. This, of course, is a situation that is different from other situations like inland locations that are not view in view from the beach or other public viewing areas, and are important areas to be concerned about what the public view shed and the scale of development might result in. So in general, this amendment would probably result in smaller homes in those particular situations, and in our view, that's appropriate given the issues raised by the development in those locations. And finally, to the extent there may be particular constraints on individual lots that warrant a different consideration in terms of the scale of development, the county has its variance provisions available to us, to it, and the county has shown itself capable of using those variance provisions in all of these situations, and that relates back to our overarching point, is that we support the county's initiative and effort to move forward with further neighborhood community planning, because ultimately we would like to see more comprehensive amendments that deal with this question in different dimensions. But again, that's not to say that we don't support this change and that it's not important to make at this time. So we would recommend approving the amendment if modified as suggested.
All right. Thank you, staff. Let me bring it back to the commission. Commissioner Secord, do you have a question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've got serious problems with this matter, and I wish we'd had site visits, because I'd really like to understand what's going on the ground. It sounds fairly as though the measure would take out the bluff portion of a lot, but that lot belongs to somebody and they pay taxes on that land, and you end up with a reduced building envelope on top of the bluff in whatever land is left. They've already got floor area ratios and they've got slope density rules. And I just think that this is going too far. I don't think that we really ought to be protecting private views. I think we should be protecting public views. And I'm second or thirdly or so concerned about the non-conforming or the result in the non-conforming structures that this measure would impose. And I'm concerned about the rebuilding of these projects in the event they're damaged for some reason. If you end up with a non-conforming home with wave damage or a fire or something like that, and you really can't build or can't rebuild what you lost, it really renders you pretty vulnerable. Now, the commissioners don't live in the community. The commissioners, many of us, have never seen these bluffs, and this is where a site visit would really be helpful, and possibly some examples. I think the staff could have provided examples of what could happen in various scenarios. And so I think this needs more study, and I'm not in favor of it the way it stands. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Potter.
That said, I move the commission reject implementation plan major amendment number 2-06, part 2, as submitted by Santa Cruz County. Recommend a yes vote.
We have a motion by Commissioner Potter and a second by Commissioner Schallenberger, the maker and seconder, and recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in rejection of the amendment and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would the commissioners like to address the motion?
I just briefly say I think Charles did an excellent job of articulating what the public component is here and the statewide coastal resource issue. I think staff was very clear on that. And I frankly, while field trips are great, there's certainly nothing that constrains any member of this commission from going and visiting any community that they want to go ahead and get a better assessment of the issue that's before us as a body. So I'm quite supportive of the work that's gone on to date. Appreciate staff's dedication to this, and I consider this to be a very positive step forward in the preservation of what's a bit hard to define at times, but neighborhood compatibility is something that is important, and I think this truly addresses that issue. So I thank staff for their efforts.
All right. Commissioner Schellenberger? All right. Could any other comments from commissioners? Could we have the clerk call the roll, please?
Yes vote.
Yes, the maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote.
I think that's clear.
There may be one contrarian or two, but I hope we common sense prevails here.
Commissioner.
Can we have the roll call, please?
Commissioner Ashajian. Ashajian, yes. Commissioner Wickett.
Yes.
Wickett, yes. Commissioner Burke.
Your vote. She's calling.
Yes.
Burke, yes. Commissioner Clark.
Yes.
Clark, yes. Commissioner Weso.
Yes.
Weso, yes. Commissioner Secord.
No.
Secord, no. Commissioner Kruer.
Yes.
Kruer, yes. Commissioner Mercurimi.
Yes.
Mercurimi, yes. Commissioner Potter.
Aye.
Potter, yes. Commissioner Schellenberger.
Yes.
Schellenberger, yes. Commissioner Wan.
Yes.
Wan, yes. Chair Neely.
Yes.
Chair Neely, yes. The vote is 11-1.
Okay, the commission hereby denies certification of implementation plan major amendment number 2-06, part 2, as submitted by Santa Cruz County. Commissioner Potter?
Madam Chair, I move the commission certify implementation plan major amendment number 2-06, part 2. If it is modified as suggested in the staff report, recommend a yes vote.
We have a motion by Commissioner Potter and a second by Commissioner Schellenberger. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in certification of the amendment with the suggested modifications. Would you like to speak to the motion?
No, thanks.
All right. Commissioner Schellenberger? All right. Is there a need for a roll call vote on this item? Yes. Okay. Can we substitute the last vote on this particular motion? Any objections to that? Seeing none, then the motion passes. I believe it is 11-1. And therefore, the commission hereby certifies implementation plan major amendment number 2-06, part 2, to the Santa Cruz County Local Coastal Program. And I've had a request for a break, so I think we'll take a 10-minute break now, and we'll come back and finish up the rest of the agenda.
Yeah, there isn't a field. The process is clear.
Dias, please. Oh, boy. I'm making a mess today. There must be an ice cube in there about 4 inches across. I'd like to call the Coastal Commission meeting back into session and go to the staff on item, is it 9G?
Yes, Madam Chair and Commissioners. Item 9G is also an LCP amendment, the last one of the day. This is a minor amendment determination for Santa Cruz County LCP amendment to deal with wells and groundwater protection. The amendment proposes various refinements and improvements, in our view, to LCP Chapter 7.70 to deal with various groundwater issues. I understand we do have a public speaker here today who wants to address one of the issues implicated by the amendment, which is On page 2, one of the specific amendments that is being proposed is to modify current wording in the LCP that would provide the Board of Supervisors additional discretion to declare a groundwater emergency, depending on whether adequate actions are being taken to alleviate an overdraft condition. And I believe there's somebody who wants to speak today about the overdraft issue in southern Santa Cruz County. There's also a number of documents that he has submitted that are in your district director's report. You also should have received a DVD addressing his concerns in your packet. And that DVD was also previously provided to you a year or so ago when he requested that we pass that out. So notwithstanding the concerns, which I can speak to more after if the commission would like, we do believe that the amendment qualifies as a minor LCP amendment, and we are requesting the concurrence with the executive director's determination that it is a minor amendment.
All right. Thank you, staff. Let me first ask if there are any ex parte communications on this item, starting on my left. Seeing none. Anybody on the right? Okay. We do have Mr. Riker from the County of Santa Cruz. He's here to answer questions only, but we do have Douglas Deitch, who would like to address the commission, and we give you some time now, Mr. Deitch, if you'd like to come forward. We'll give you 3 minutes.
May I request 5 minutes, please?
Okay, carry on.
Okay.
Name for the record, please.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here before you today. First, I wanted to confirm that you have
received... Could I get your name for the record?
Excuse me. Douglas Deitch, Executive Director, Monterey Bay Conservancy. It's a 501c3. I call it a water policy think tank. I first wanted to confirm with you that this DVD you've received today, I also, around 2 years ago, delivered to you to bring this issue to the Commission's attention and the local staff's attention. What I contend is the intentional non-compliance with the local coastal plan in regards to the requirement that was established in the County of Santa Cruz by Gary Patton when he was a Board of Supervisors in 1987 to create a ministerial duty, a higher duty than is under the state constitution, to require as a ministerial duty, non-discretionary, that the Board of Supervisors declare a groundwater emergency when three basic objective tests are met. Today, I've also characterized what's going on in terms of our water use and as a Waterbury Ponzi scheme. Maybe it's appropriate today that Bernie Madoff is in New York and answering for his Ponzi scheme. Another thing I'd like to say, too, is that anything I have to say, some people, I've been doing this for 15 years, and I've run for supervisor 4 times. I filed 2 grand jury complaints on this, 2 lawsuits. My attempt 2 years ago was to basically get the coastal local staff to weigh in on this because, as I say, there's been an intentional non-compliance of the law. The first thing that I objected to was the description of this in your materials there, and I could go, you know, I have extensive exhibits, but the term greater discretion to determine a groundwater emergency. We set up, the law was set up with no discretion. A ministerial duty has no discretion. Your approval, and also, the only thing I would like you to, my 2 requests today are that, specifically, one, you do not approve the additional language that changes the nature of this duty to a discretionary duty, or a discretionary option, as the state constitution already provides. And your addition of this language will do that. So I'm asking that you just pull that item, that one additional language from this, and I have no problems with the rest of it other than the language and the purpose provision, which also deals with this adequate adequate measures are being taken as a subjective standard. And that basically that you consider enforcement provisions against the County of Santa Cruz for their intentional non-compliance with this duty. Every year, I have some slides. Can you go to the next slide? These are all come from the Alaska study done in 2005. This is our water area. The top area there in the whole Monterey Bay, the top area, that 15K, that minus, that's the amount of groundwater resource lost in the Pajaro Basin. That other circled area below is the other area of the Monterey Bay, the Salinas Valley. In that whole area there, you're only losing 9,000 acre feet a year, with around a $4 billion production. In the Pajaro area, where a quarter of the country's berries are grown, we're losing 15,000 acre feet a year, 200% overdraft of our groundwaters. You're going to be considering some desalinization plants. That amount every year of our area, in the Pajaro area, you'd have to build seven $100 million desal plants every year and operate them full time to keep up the amount of water, which is basically being exported and expropriated in the form of berry product, which uses 90% of the water, 200% overdraft. That's that area. This area where we're standing, which is basically the Salinas Valley, is only losing 9,000 to 13,000 acre feet. So for this area, what you'd have to do is basically that desal plant you'll be considering here, you'd have to build one of those every year. So our problem here is that we're not following the law, and we have exceeded what is a reasonable agricultural carrying capacity. That's never even thought about. We are the... please go to the next slide. The next slide, this is the Pajaro area more specifically defined. To the north, you can see the Soquel Creek Water District. Really, Soquel Creek and Pajaro share groundwater together. You know, in 5 minutes, I won't be able to go all through this, but I'd be happy to respond to questions. Next slide, please. If you turn this the other way, this is a report that was just done for the potential groundwater emergency that was considered in the last fall. And what happened in that particular instance is that and John Ricker's here to answer this question for you, they have already considered the groundwater emergency again last fall, but what they did was they included the new language that you haven't even approved yet, and that was the language they distributed, which is a discretionary option, and you had city council members from Watsonville who were testifying against the groundwater emergency. Okay, next slide, please. Oh, also, excuse me, on that slide there, you won't be able to see, they have the ranges here.
How many more slides do you have, sir? Because your 5 minutes is up.
Okay, well, you know.
Just a couple?
One other thing, please go forward. We don't have to deal with it. I want to deal with the map here. That there indicates, substantiates what the groundwater loss in the Salinas Valley is. One more slide, please. I want to get to the map to point this out. This here, we are the only area in California that has or only dependent on our own groundwater. We have no Sierra water, Colorado water, Central Project water. We're losing that every year at an incredible rate. This is a coastal resource. I'm here today because I was noticed that this is a coastal plan amendment, that there's proper jurisdiction. And Mr. Lester says, this isn't the proper vehicle. I've tried everyone. I need your help to keep this law active so we can still try to balance our water here. Thank you very much.
Any questions, I'd be happy to. All right. We'll see. Thank you so much. And then from the County of Santa Cruz, Mr. Riker, did you wish to address the commission or rebut? And how much time would you like for that?
Oh, I'd say just a couple of minutes would be
okay,
fine.
Okay, we'll give you two.
I'm John Ricker. I'm the Water Resources Division Director with Santa Cruz County Environmental Health Service. We support the staff recommendation. We've worked with our well drillers, our water agencies, and our concerned citizens to put together what we think is a set of measures that will provide better groundwater protection and more effective implementation of the ordinance. We concur with Mr. Deitch on the severity of the overdraft problem in Southern Santa Cruz County. The ability to declare a groundwater emergency has been considered and is still being considered. However, we feel that's sort of a blunt and somewhat inefficient tool to address the emergency. We have a number of other methods to address the overdraft. The county has been working very closely to support and encourage the work of the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency, which is the agency that does have more clear authority and clear powers to address the problem. We're also looking at things that we can do ourselves to encourage and require more water conservation, both at a residential and an agricultural level. So we do concur with the problem, and we are doing quite a bit to address it. We feel that the ordinance amendments are appropriate and concur with your staff's recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Let's go back to the staff for any additional comments.
I think Mr. Ricker covered most of our concerns. I mean, we do agree that there's a problem, and I did say to Mr. Deitch that we didn't believe this LCP amendment was the proper vehicle for this commission to be dealing with that, particularly with respect to the declaring of a water emergency. That said, we, as you know, often look at the question of whether there's adequate water available for new development, which is our mandate under the Coastal Act, and we have been doing that in this situation, including working with the Pajaro Valley Management Water Agency with various efforts they are taking on to try to address the overdraft problem, including this commission approving a recycled water project in the last several years to help deal with that overdraft problem. So we believe that the most effective role that this commission can play at this point is to continue working with the county and the Water Management Agency on planning approaches, management planning approaches to deal with the problem. And we will continue to be looking at new development that may be proposed that raises a groundwater issue, and we have not seen that type of development in this area. So that's one of the reasons it hasn't come to you in that form.
All right. Thank you, staff. Let me just point out that the executive director has determined that the proposed LCP amendment is minor, and let me look to the commission to see if there's any objection to concurrence with the executive director's determination. Seeing none, the commission concurs.
That brings us to our final item for the day, which is item 10A. This is a new appeal in San Luis Obispo County that has been pending for some time. The first question I wanted to address before asking Mr. Bishop to do a presentation potentially is the matter of the request for a continuance by the applicant. In this case, the matter has been pending for a number of years. We've been working on this issue and working with the applicant on the substance of the direction that we were heading for a significant amount of time. The applicant has previously used their request, a right to a request for a continuance. So there is no right here, in our view, to postpone the item. Further, we feel, given the nature of our communications with the applicant and the fact that we've gone to great lengths to bring the staff report forward, including the cost of production and bringing noticing, public noticing, that we ought to keep this item on the agenda today. And so we do not support the request for continuance, but would defer to the commission on that question. And with respect to the appeal itself, we are recommending both that the commission find substantial issue and approval with conditions. So if the commission is inclined to go forward, we would recommend that the commission, unless three or more commissioners object, find substantial issue today at the minimum. So with that, I would pause a moment and see what the commission's preference is with respect to going forward.
All right, and should we also put our ex partes on before we have discussion about the continuance? Let me do that first then. Commissioner Shajian?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On Monday the 9th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I received a call from John Belcher, and the conversation was that they would like to see this item continued for 1 month for the reasons that the staff report was received by them this past Monday, and that they needed some time to digest, and the way he put it, it's a 50-page, very technical report. And on those basis, they would appreciate a continuation of this item for 1 month.
All right. Any other ex partes on my left? Potter, do you have an ex parte?
No.
All right. My ex partes are on file. Anyone on the right? They were directly regarding the continuance request as well. So with regard to that, Commissioner Shajian, would you like to go first?
If I may, Madam Chair, I'm going to move that that we grant one final extension as it is the Commission's discretion for a period of 1 month.
We have a motion and second for a continuance for 1 month. Maybe just let me ask staff to comment on that before, in terms of scheduling, before we take action. The motion, the second was by Commissioner Burke. The motion was by Commissioner Shajian.
Yes, Madam Chair. If the Commission is inclined to continue this, we would just recommend that you vote on that motion without a date specific. because we have to deal with the timing, the other reports that we have to deal with, and that's our usual way of doing it. But we would obviously want to bring it back and could, I hope, next month. We don't see a reason for it, but and if you are inclined to do that, again, we recommend that you find substantial issue at least today.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Secord?
I wanted to ask staff, how many times has this matter been on the agenda?
I don't know exactly, but we've taken a couple runs at it, but most recently probably 2004 is my understanding.
So it's been on the agenda at least twice, most recently in 2004, is that a
probably statement? At least twice. And I don't recall whether the staff recommendation was released at that point, but we did work with the applicant on continuing the item and then continuing our discussions about the issues raised.
And could you help me understand the substantial issue situation? If we decide to find substantial issue and have the de novo hearing at some future time, would that solve everybody's problem? And Hope is saying no.
Well, it would at least get us over the first hurdle, which is to find substantial issue. This has been hanging out there
yes.
for years
well,
and
that's,
years.
That was the purpose of the inquiry, to find out kind of how long it's been hanging out and what substantive changes
almost
have occurred.
Almost 8 years,
yeah.
from what I hear. So we got a waiver of the 49 days, and then it's just been
yeah.
sitting there. And we have had discussions with the applicant. I think they know what it is that we were proposing, but if you are inclined to continue it, my suggestion is that you find substantial issue and then continue it, and we'll bring it back at a future date.
Okay.
Okay, we have some other speakers on the commission. Commissioner Mercurimi, please.
Thank you, Madam President. To the staff, could you I'm trying to follow the thread, and so I'm trying to understand what is the issue that would merit a continuance.
It's my well, go ahead, Charles.
I understand generally the applicant has requested more time to digest the recommendation, but that's all I've been told by the applicant. The applicant may want to clarify their need for a continuance.
Madam Chair, through you, my understanding that they received your report previous Monday. And the technicality of the report, they asked to take the time in order to absorb what it is to prepare themselves, and that was the purpose. But I believe that if we do find substantial issue, it does exactly that, it continues the item. So I want to know if the applicant is, Madam Chair, if that's okay with you.
Yes, can we call the applicant up? Mr. Brett, are you here? Could you state your name for the record, sir, and then I believe one of the commissioners has a question for you.
George Brett.
Thank you. Commissioner Shajian?
Mr. Brett, if we find a substantial issue, and I'll stand to be corrected, see if staff will help me out, that means that this item will come back for a hearing and it's automatically continued. Am I correct
no,
saying
it wouldn't,
that?
No, it wouldn't be automatically continued. You'd find substantial issue and then you would have to vote on the continuance.
Okay.
Right.
So that's what's going to be my recommendation, unless you have a problem.
Yeah. Madam President?
That will give you the time you need to look into the technicality of the report and prepare yourself to respond and work with the staff.
And I believe our newest commissioner here hadn't quite finished with his comments, so let me just go back to Commissioner Mercurimi first.
Hi, sir. So my question is, it was directed to the staff. Perhaps maybe you can enlighten me. Tell me again what the reason it is for the continuance. I understand there's something substantive in question. What is the substantive that is in question?
What the staff's recommendation is to the Coastal Commission. They've never given us that until a week ago Monday. So we've had no time to prepare an adequate response to that. So for all these years, we've been talking with the Coastal Commission staff about this seawall, which was a permitted seawall that was granted by the County of San Luis Obispo. And we met every requirement they made on us to build this seawall. And then with the appeal by two coastal commissioners, the staff has come up with new conditions that are completely different than what the county had made us comply with. And also the staff is recommending that we take out this seawall and build another new seawall.
And so you're saying that the new recommendations or these recommendations that superseded other ones have only come to your attention the last week or so?
A week ago Monday. Not last Monday, but the Monday before. So we haven't had time to have experts review this report and advise us on what our options are.
Madam President, is it acceptable then to ask the staff to speak to that just so that I can
absolutely
have some...
Staff, could you please?
So to the staff, to the gentleman's comments, just so that I have some even understanding as to, I think, the concern here.
First, I'd say it's true they probably had not seen this staff recommendation in its specific form until it was released 10 days ago. I don't know when you received it. But on the substance, our understanding was that we had been talking about how we were going to be coming out on this recommendation with respect to the particulars of what we're recommending here. Not the exact condition language, perhaps, but the nature of the recommendation. So maybe it's a disagreement on what sort of communications we've been having. But
I think to move this forward, we're okay with a continuance. I think that... let them have an opportunity to have their technical folks look at the staff recommendation now that they see it in print. So my suggestion is that you find substantial issue, continue the matter, okay, and then we'll bring it back at the earliest opportunity, and they will have had an opportunity to analyze the specific report.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We have a motion on the floor for a continuance. The motion was made by Commissioner Shaji and seconded by Commissioner Burke.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Just by way of procedure, I think the first thing is, unless three or more commissioners object, you will have found substantial issue, and then the motion to continue would be...
I concur, Madam Chair.
You concur with
maker.
That?
Yes.
All right, we'll take that continuance motion off the floor then. And let me ask the question, do three or more commissioners object to the finding of substantial issue? Seeing none, then substantial issue is found, and this item will be scheduled for a de novo hearing at a future time.
Okay. Well, now your motion is appropriate to continue.
Now my motion is to continue and hearing the executive director for no specific date, so it's up to your workload.
Second. All right, we have a motion by Commissioner Shaji and a second by Commissioner Burke to continue this matter. Any discussion on the continuance motion? Seeing none, is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Then the matter is continued.
So, Madam Chair, that completes the agenda for today. We'll see you at 9 o'clock tomorrow.
So, yes, we will reconvene tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Do we have any public comments today? Any public comment speakers?
We do have public comments. I believe we have three. We might have more than that coming up. So we actually aren't adjourned. We have public comments. So the first is from Faye Levinson, and we'll give you 3 minutes. And could you state your name for the record?
Thank you. And I'd like to thank the Coastal Commission for its support in the past. About 5 years ago, the Coastal Commission took an interest in a project that was going on in Aptos called the Hidden Beach Development. And thanks to the work of the Santa Cruz Board of Supervisors and the Coastal Commission, Hidden Beach has now been designated as a public beach rather than a private beach. And I'm here to speak to you today about a topic that's going to come up at your next Coastal Commission meeting, and that's the proposed bluff top development at Hidden Beach. And I believe Vanessa just passed out some materials that I brought to for you to be able to look at and consider before the next meeting. If you look at the photographs, you'll notice on the last page a picture of what Hidden Beach currently looks like. And the bluff above, there is currently one single-story home there. Being proposed and being appealed are five homes that are going to be developed, are proposed for development on those bluffs, ranging in size from 5,700 square feet to about 4,700 square feet. We are concerned with the neighborhood compatibility. the heights of these homes, and we're requesting that if the Coastal Commission does allow these homes to be developed, that they limit them to one story rather than two story, which will be compatible with the homes across from them in Seascape, which are visible from the photographs that you have in front of you. Also, the bluff that these homes are going to be built on is currently continuing to be unstable and continues to slough off every year, and we're very concerned about major homes being built on this bluff that will take to consider the integrity of the bluff falling down. We're also very concerned about the public view shed and how Hidden Beach is currently a public beach, and these five very large homes will not fit in with the neighborhood and will be incompatible with the rest of the area and will obstruct the view shed of the public as they walk on the beach. So we're hoping that at your next meeting you'll have a chance to review these materials, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them if I'm able, and if not, I know one of the commissioners, I think it was Dr. Secord, said something about coming and looking at areas. We'd be very happy to have you come and view these areas so you could see what we're talking about in terms of the integrity of the bluffs and the development in the area. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Jim Miller.
All right, thank you. Madam Chairman, members of the Commission, get this right here. My name is Jim Miller. I'm a resident of Dana Point and a 30-year merchant of Dana Point Harbor. I'm here today on behalf of Dana Point Harbor Now, a broad-based grassroots membership of 1,700 plus supporters that support the Dana Point Harbor Local Coastal Plan Amendment. I know this plan is not on your agenda today, but it is so important to membership of Dana Point Harbor Now that I've traveled all the way up to Monterey to express to staff and the commissioners our support for the Dana Point Harbor Local Coastal Plan Amendment. Living and working in Dana Point for over 30 years and having attended in excess of over 50 public hearings, I have had the opportunity to talk with all types of users of Dana Point Harbor and know the broad-based support of this LCPA. The support represents walkers, joggers, shoppers, diners, fishermen, boaters, and travelers to Catalina. The Dana Point Harbor LCPA has been with the Coastal Commission now for about 2 years. With my compliments to staff, they have been working closely with the OC Dana Point Harbor, the city of Dana Point, and I am hopeful that all their hard work will place the Dana Point Local Coastal Plan Amendment on the Coastal Commission's agenda soon. The membership of Dana Point Harbor Now will travel anywhere, any place, to support the staff and the work they've done, and urge the staff to agendize the Dana Point Harbor LCPA as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next speaker is John Hicks.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Morning.
My name is John Hicks, and I'm a resident of Laguna Niguel, California. I'd like to thank the Commission for the opportunity to address you today about the Dana Point Harbor, and specifically the Dana Point Harbor Local Coastal Plan Amendment. I know that this plan is not on the current agenda, but it's important to me that I traveled all the way from Laguna Niguel to share my concerns in advance of the actual hearing. My wife and I founded the Harbor Grill restaurant located in Dana Point Harbor over 26 years ago. My son is now participating in managing the business. We are proud to be a family business, and we look forward to continuing in such a way for years to come. Our guests include residents of California, as well as visitors from throughout the United States and travelers from abroad. And while they are a diverse clientele, they share a common desire. They want to see the water, they want to be near the water, and they want to enjoy the many amenities afforded in the harbor. But the Dana Point Harbor was built over 35 years ago, and sadly it's showing its age. The Dana Point Harbor is in need of significant revitalization to improve public access and recreation, safety, water quality, and environmental issues. The Dana Point Harbor Revitalization Plan has been in the design stage for over 11 years and competently addresses all of these issues. My wife and I actively support the revitalization and urge the Commission to act soon. I'm confident when the Coastal Commission members and staff review the Dana Point Harbor Revitalization Plan, you will find the plan meets your high design standards. I know you have many important and challenging issues before you, and after attending a few of these meetings, I now understand the heavy burden of work that's placed upon your staff. Actually, quite frankly, I'm amazed at the amount of work that your staff is able to complete. However, the Dana Point LCPA was submitted nearly 2 years ago, and it needs to be heard, and soon. It does not matter where the meetings will be held, and I, and along with many other supporters, will travel the length of California, from Eureka to San Diego, to show our support. We would just like to see it agendized. I urge you to do so as soon as possible, and I thank you for your consideration.
All right, thank you, sir. And that ends our public comment speakers for today.
Yes, so, Madam Chair, and I just want to mention that we are working with the Dana Point Harbor folks. We do have some issues that we have to resolve. We are hopeful that we can resolve the issues that have been raised by our staff, and we'll bring it forward at the earliest opportunity, hopefully having narrowed down differences to perhaps zero, but that's what we're aiming for.
All right, thank you. Anything else before the commission today? That's it. So we'll be in session tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Thank you.